So we're at the stage where Korach is, he's with his group of rabble-rousers, the miscreants, whatever they may be, and they're challenging Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe waits till they finish their tirade, and he says, your claim that I'm looking to be great and that I chose Aaron because he's my brother to be the Kohen Gadol, and therefore his kids became the other Kohanim, it's not true. And I didn't choose the Levian to be subservient to Aaron, of course. He said, you're making a mistake. Do you think the Rabbeinu Shel Olam ever asked me my opinion as to who should do what for the Jewish people? Remember, he separated day and night so that the magicians of Egypt could not turn day into night or night into day. He didn't took away their ability, and he made sure that every yid had the possibility to get out of a triumph. He distinguished whom he wanted. He made the havdolos, the differences, the separations, at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire. He called everyone Mamlechas Kayanim V'Goy Kadosh, and at the same time said, I want Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol. I understand that many of you wish to have higher functions in serving Hashem. And we can take, he said, a precedent from the other nations of the world, that they each set up their own deity and their own priests. It's, you know, it's a business. He says, we now know, we've been shown repeatedly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only Melech HaOlam, and his will is what must be met. He chose one Kohen Gadol, and that's it. He chose one tribe to be the servants in the Beis HaMikdash, and they didn't ever go into servitude in the triumph. And he said, but you don't believe me. So, if you want to stay with your conviction that I'm the one who manipulated what happened, let's have a test tomorrow. He said, today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't do it. It says, Moshe said, if I give them a day to cool off and they realize what they're getting into, right, they may wake up with some sense and back off. Then the test would never occur. But Moshe didn't tell them that. He said, Hashem wants to wait till tomorrow. He said, if you choose to join in this test, anyone who claims that he is an appropriate person to serve in the Beis HaMikdash can come tomorrow with a pan filled with ketores and offer it up. Now, you all know that a non-Kohen who brings Ketores is liable to death at the hands of heaven. You know what happened to Nadav v'Avihu, who were Kohanim, and they did it wrong. So, the proof will be, if you bring Ketores and God lets you live, then you're right. Okay? However, right? If I am correct, you're going to perish. And this is a test That's Russian roulette. Korach, the genius, assumed, as he always did, that he would survive. Because how could he not survive when he knew who his progeny would be? There were 250 others who were so consumed by a desire to bring Katoris that they were prepared to sacrifice their lives. The Ramban says, do not think that Moshe came up with this test on his own. Moshe was the truthful servant of Ribbono Shel Olam, and he obviously had been told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. Thus, on the Aviram, who were there and were listening to Moshe's speech, said, the heck was this? He's going to his religion again. He's going to his, fail-safe. Goodbye. We don't need this. But Moshe then attempted to get Korach to get some sense. Moshe said, and he addressed all around, especially those from Levi, Shimunah b'nei Levi, please listen to me, sons of Levi. Please recognize, be content with the roles you now have in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't attempt this test to become a Kohen. And he said, Korach, you and all your followers, right? What are you looking for? Had Aaron wanted, had he sought, had he run for the job of Kahuna, maybe. What did he gain? The first day he became a Kohen Gadol, his sons died. Korach said, I'm not answering. Moshe is the greatest discourse person. The greatest orator. He'll always beat me with arguments. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of debating. Moshe realized then that Korach was fixed in his desire, and therefore he said, okay, he sent Dathan the Aviram saying, right, please come to the Mikdash. And they said, sorry, we're done taking orders from you. We're not coming up. You took us out of the great land of Egypt, which they call the land flowing with milk and honey, because for them it was. They made all kinds of money. And you made us go to the wilderness, and we were brought here forcefully by Paro. And then you and your brother become commanders in chief. We've had enough. And they continued to argue. He said, you know what you did? You told the Levim they're great, but all you did was make them servants to be porters, to be people doing missions for your brother. All you got us into was a desert. This promise that Eretz Yisrael is so great, you've now told us it's not going to happen. And what do? After you tell us that we are not going in, you then tell us special halachas about the land. You can't take two species and farm them together in a yoke. You can't grow things during Shemitah. We've never seen an Israeli field or vineyard. What do you think? You can keep telling fibs? They said, even if you decide to punish us by yanking out our eyes, we won't come. And it says in Mishle, the verdict of the fool is enunciated by his own mouth. Thus on the Aviram did not come up. They would not come up when they would go down into the ground live. They would sink with Korach. And they would never come up to Eretz Yisroel, the land flowing with milk and honey. HaKadosh Moshe Rabbeinu was deeply, it says grieved, probably disappointed that he couldn't get anywhere with these rabble-rousers. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he davened, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not show them rachmanis, mercy, but din, strictness. Please, do not accept whatever they bring in korbanos, or whatever they have given as part of the Jewish people's korban tamid. You know the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I never asked to be here. Kings tax their subjects. I don't even take a dime in salary, and I don't ask for reimbursement of expenses. I rented a donkey to go down from Midian to Mitzrayim to help get them redeemed. I could have asked for money, but I never did. I never ever wronged anyone with an unfair judgment. I could have punished Dathan the Aviram because they were the ones who told on me to Paro when I had to run away for 80 years. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in all that I've done, I've tried to be a faithful servant and only follow your wishes. Moshe then said to Korach, you and your 250 may come tomorrow to the entrance of the Mishkan. Each person with a pan filled with ketores. Then we will see whose ketores HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept, and as a sign, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to serve. Korach went on a publicity campaign that night. He tried to get more and more supporters from all the tribes. And he kept telling them, I'm doing this for you, right? I'm the great person. I care about your civil rights. And he kept going. And he made a separate argument to each separate shevet how they were mistreated. And he even said to Yehuda, Yaakov said, Lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda. Yehuda, nachshon emenada. You're supposed to be the leader, the king. You let Moshe Rabbeinu take your job? It says, we can see from Korach how a single individual is able to instigate numerous others to sin. And how lies, telling a lie often enough, can get people to follow. The next morning, because of Korach yelling, screaming, ranting, and raving, it says the entire population of Israel came out to watch the test. Korach and his 250 followers walked in front of the Mishkan, everyone watching. Nobody said to Korach, stop. Some people said, well, maybe Korach's right. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that he'll have a greater group of Kohanim. Moshe and Aaron stood at the entrance to the Ohel Moed. On one side, Korach and his 250 on the other. Korach had donated all the pans. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechina, displayed itself with the Onan, right? The cloud of glory being highly visible at the entrance of the Ohel Moed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe and Aaron, separate yourself from the rest of the people here, and I will consume them in an instant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry that all the Yidden wanted to see this contest. And he said, this is like they're being Mored and Balchus. They're basically rebelling against the king I gave them and their Chayiv Misa. And moreover, he said, one who doubts his Rebbe's words, and you're the Rebbe of Klal Yisroel, it's as if he's Moired B'Shechina, coming against the Shechina. Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, and they said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, only take the sinners, not the ones who came to watch. You know every person's mind. If you know someone is a true Rasha, and you feel you have to act, but please, do not take those who, let's say, are gullible, but otherwise innocent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will accept your tefillah. Only Korach, Dathan, and Aviram and their families will be destroyed. Tell the people to distance themselves from the tents of these wicked people and not to touch anything that belongs to them. Once I let the Malach HaMavet, the destroying angel, loose, he will take everyone in the vicinity of the Rishayim. Moshe attempted to tell Dathan v'Aviram, time's up, save yourself. Moshe, the 70 elders, walked towards their tents, feeling that he could convince them to do tshuva, but they wouldn't even show. Moshe finally said, I can't. And he basically stopped trying to save them. Right? And he said to the people, walk away from here, from their tents, as Hashem commanded, because Dathan and Aviram had long ago forfeited their right to live. They were Chayiv Misa. At Yam Suf, after Paro brought them forcefully, and they were the only ones who survived from Paro's marching gang, they yet tried to incite the people to go back to Mitzrayim. They were the ones who wanted to show that God lied, that there would be mud in the fields on Shabbos, and they took it out there. And now again, they're being brazen and starting strife. When Dathan and Aviram saw everyone moving from their tents, then they showed up with their wives, and they began a tirade of curses and blasphemies. Moshe then said to Klal Yisroel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now give you proof that I have only acted at the command of Hashem. When I appointed Aaron Kohen, his sons Kohanim, and the Litzur the Nasi of Kahas. And that everything I've done has been dictated by Hashem. If Dasan, Aviram, and Kairos die as normal people from sickness, old age, in their beds, or if they are buried in any shape, Korach is true. And I will then acknowledge that I'm a fraud. HaKadosh Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punish these Rishayim with a unique, never-before method of death. Hashem said, Moshe, what should I do? Hashem said, if you've created an entrance to Gehenna, where these people are standing, good. And if not, please do a nace. Move that physical opening and let them go down there. Then it will be evident that they have blasphemed Hashem. Moshe said, unless you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punish them instantly, I'm going to lose all credibility. By publicly now ridiculing Moshe, Dathan and Aviram also denied the Torah. And they had other terrible statements to make. By denying any of Moshe's statements, laws, teachings while he was alive, they were putting the truth of Torah into the public domain for, is it good, is it right? And if it happened now, it would definitely open up the possibility in future. We see that even in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there have always been these people amongst the Jewish people who disputed the divinity of the Torah. Moshe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my greatest anger is for the Chilul Hashem that they are causing, for the Chilul HaTorah. And when Moshe finished, Hashem did the miracle. He first split open, widening gradually where Korach and Dathan Aviram's tents were. With a powerful suction, it drew them and their families down with their tents and anything that belonged. The fact that Dathan and Aviram's children were sucked into the earth shows that normally Beis Din doesn't punish anyone younger than 20. But when someone is devoted to Machlokas and turns each of his family members into operators of Machlokas, they suffer the greatest of divine punishments. They were gone, no trace left. It says, anything they owned was gone too. If someone was washing a Dathan Aviram garment, it all of a sudden moved to the hole and fell in. Even the names Dathan, Korach, and Aviram, if they were written in a document, their names disappeared. Korach, who had made so much money, which allowed him to become the revolt leader lost everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Moshe and took them into the earthquake, whatever it was, alive. And then B'nai Yisrael could hear voices, the voices of Korach, Dathan, v'Aviram. Moshe emes v'Torah so emes. First they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous. The judgment he has now executed on us is truthful. Moshe is MS and all of his Torah are. We are Rishayim. We rebelled against him. It says, Gehenim has seven compartments. The lowest one, the deepest one is Sheol, and that's where they went. And it said, the reason they went down all that far was because, the Gehenim radiation, I don't know if that means spiritual radiation, I don't know if it means radioactive, right? Had to be kept in and it wouldn't come from that far down. Then a fire came from heaven and burnt the 250 people with their ketores. It says Korach himself ended up with a twofold punishment. The first thing that happened was, as with those 250 who, like none of an Aviyu, were punished with their souls being burnt out of them, so was his. And then his body rolled into the abyss. And this was so that he would be part of both punishments. He would be treated equally for having led people to losing their neshama and others being buried alive. 250 men saw Korach's body, which had become a fireball now, roll to the opening of the earth and disappear. And the earth thereafter sealed. The people, obviously, were panic-stricken. They didn't realize that they could not also be sucked into the abyss. Moshe calmed them down and told them, you're being saved. You don't have to worry about this. I imagine he told them to do tshuva. Okay.